You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Saturday afternoon. I tried to take my dogs out for a walk this morning. And of course, the key word is tried. I beg them, please, please just try to pee outside for 5 minutes. Guys, it wasn't happening. We've got Jake and we've got Ty back in the studio. They are producing the show. Gentlemen, good morning, good morning, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Good afternoon. What do you mean, good morning? It's 12 o'clock here on the East Coast.
And you're
on the
East
Coast too.
I am, but, you know, good morning, good afternoon. It just, we're 5 minutes into the afternoon. Listen, and it's Saturday. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, and it's like 2 degrees outside.
Some people wake up at 12 on a Saturday, so I agree with you. Good morning.
Exactly.
I think we need to change that. I think afternoons really start at like 10.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. Like, I have a really, I don't know about anyone else, but like, I have a really weird sleeping situation going on with me right now. Like, I typically, what happens is I fall asleep on my couch at like around 10:30, 11 p.m. And then I wake up at like 3:30, and then I make my way into my bed and I can't go back to sleep. And I'm up and I'm on Twitter and I'm working and I'm doing all kinds of stuff and on the computer. And before I know it, it's 5:30, and then I'm like, why am I going to go back to bed? Like, you know, like.
I was just going to ask, do you go back to sleep?
No, I'm like, usually I'm like, if I do, I go back, like, maybe I nap for an hour, but I'm usually up. Like, I am up, like, I am like early bird gets the worm. I am up and revving to go around 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning.
Now, is the worm baked or fried?
Oh, fried.
Gotcha. Or air fried. Is it fried or air fried?
It's air fried. Are you kidding? I've got four air fryers.
Four? Because one's not good enough for someone who lives at home alone.
Well, here's the thing. And I've said this before, and whenever I say I have four air fryers, that's the reaction. What? Why do you need four air fryers? Because I want everything to come out at the same time. So, you know, you put the meat in one, you put your vegetables in another. You put your potatoes in another. Like,
so do you have like four ovens as well if you're just going full bake mode?
No, because your oven, you could put, you have like the shelves in your oven.
That's fair.
Right? So like, you know, you could cook a multitude of things in the oven, in the air fryer, not so much. So that's why I have four, because I want everything to come out at the same. I want everything to come out at the same time. Why not? You're gonna make your meat and then you're gonna let your meat sit there and get cold while you're waiting for your vegetables and your potatoes to cook on the air fryer? That doesn't make sense. So, and by the way, I'm giving somebody a brilliant business idea here. And that is to make air fryers that, and there are some very large air fryers, but making air fryers in a way that you can cook meat, vegetables, and potatoes at the same time. Brilliant. You'd make $1 million. Thank me later. Send the 10% to 98.7 ESPN. All right. Let's get to sports, because this is a sports talk radio show. Enough about my dogs that won't pee outside because it's too cold. We've got a great show lined up for you. David Sampson, who's a very dear friend of mine, former Major League Baseball executive of the Miami Marlins, is going to be joining us at 12:30 today. And this is a lot to get into with him. First and foremost, he is still recovering from COVID. And for somebody who is young and athletic and spry and healthy, I have not spoken to him. I did not find out that he had COVID-19 until when the whole Hall of Fame balloting came out and nobody got in. And of course that's what was trending on social media. That's when I stumbled upon his Twitter feed, and he was giving updates in regard to his bout with COVID, and he had it really bad. Like, really bad. So I'm really curious to have him on. I have not had an opportunity to speak to him since. I'm intrigued and curious about his bout and where he is right now and all that other stuff. So we're going to have David Sampson on, obviously, to talk about Major League Baseball and the Hall of Fame ballot. That was not. That was not. And 2022 could be extremely interesting because now, along with Bonds and Roger and Kurt and Sosa, of course, we're all on first name basis. A-Rod and Ortiz, Big Poppy. They jump on the ballot as well. I find this fascinating, and I know that the argument in the conversation is steroids will do a few things for you, right? Performance enhancing drugs, HGH, steroids, the cocktails that these guys were obviously using in that era, in that time. There's a lot of things that they can do for you, but these are athletes that obviously were born blessed and kissed by God with unbelievable talent to get them where they were at that point. And then the performance enhancing drugs just kind of elevated it a little bit. But is that elevation to what we saw, is that what took them over the finish line in the consideration to be in the conversation to get into Cooperstown? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know. I'm not going to sit here and throw stones because this kettle is black. And what do I mean by that? I have said before, if I played Major League Baseball in the time of the steroid era, knowing me and knowing how competitive I am and knowing that the powers that be and the commissioner of Major League Baseball at that point in time after the strike was turning a blind eye because, you know, chicks love the long ball. As well as dudes, let's be honest. And so it was running rampant. And athletes were, let's be honest, there is a slew of other athletes beyond A-Rod and allegedly Big Poppy and Bonds and Rogers and Kurt and Sosa that was using the performance-enhancing drugs. This was a witch hunt, and not everybody was busted. So, again, I'm not sitting here judging. I don't have a vote. I've said this before. I think that Major League Baseball should have a section. I'm not sure if, you know, I've been up to Cooperstown to play golf. I play in Lou Holtz's golf tournament. Mark May and Lou Holtz would host an annual golf tournament up at Leatherstocking, which I think is top five public golf course in the country. It's a golf course that was built around a 9-mile man-made lake. It's just breathtaking. The ride up there is gorgeous. And so I've been up to the Cooperstown area. I've never been into the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I've been into Canton. I've been to the Football Hall of Fame, but I think that there needs to be a designated area of a time, a period of time, where in Major League Baseball, performance-enhancing drugs were being utilized. And just have that era off to the side. Because again, I am 100% positive that there are Major League Baseball players that are in the Hall of Fame that use performance-enhancing drugs, but they weren't part of the witch hunt. And they didn't get busted. So their names are up there. They've been voted in. So I think this is a bigger problem than just those that vote. I think this is a much bigger problem than the athletes who used and got busted, or many feel, you know, even though maybe they didn't test positive, we all know, wink, wink. I think this is more of a Major League Baseball / you know, the powers that be that run Cooperstown problem. Because I think they're the only ones who can fix this. And like I said, that's my suggestion, is that there's a designated area from this time period to this time period that Major League Baseball wasn't testing for performance enhancing drugs. And we don't know. Just have a big emoji with a big shrug. We don't know. Like, we don't know who on this wall used performance enhancing drugs. We can sit here, we can assume. We kind of know these guys did. Could be anyone. So anyway, I'm going to have that conversation with David. And also, we'll talk about what's going on with the Yankees and, of course, the Mets and, you know, the Mets owners, Steve Cohen, and what's going on with GameStop. let me rewind. When the pandemic happened and everything shut down, like, I'm sure like everybody, I was like really bored. And so, and I started thinking, okay, well, you know, the world's changing now. How are we living our lives? How are we going about our lives? How are things going to evolve and change? And what companies are going to benefit from that? And I really got into the stock market, and I created my own account on Ameritrade, and I bought up Winnebago because I thought, oh, people aren't going to travel on airplanes for a long time, and summer's going to be here before we know it, and they're going to travel in Winnebago. So I bought up Winnebago, did well for me. I bought this marijuana stock called Canopy out of Canada. That's done extremely well for me because I felt people were going to have to cope somehow, some way. And this was a company that was making some noise. So anyway, I dabble. Do I really know what I'm doing? No. I text friends who I think they know what they're doing. What are you into right now? I buy a few shares and I call it a day. So for me to sit here and explain to you what just happened in the last 48 to 72 hours with GameStop, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know. But it is obviously a thing. And it happened and it was trending and it's fascinating if you just understand a smidgen of it. And so Rob Masiello, very dear friend of mine, I have him on the show quite frequently to talk about the Triple Crown because he does dabble in horse racing. He's a trader. And so he was kind enough to join me last night on my gambling show, Weekend Wager, that airs right here on 98.7 ESPN every Friday night from 10 to midnight. And because of what's going on with Steve Cohen and GameStop and him removing himself, shutting down his Twitter account because he's getting bombarded. We'll talk to David Sampson about it and Rob Masiello. This is Appointment Radio if you are interested or inquisitive as to what really went down with GameStop. 1 o'clock is must listen to radio for you. I will tell you that. Cynthia Freeland will be joining us as always. We'll have a click or don't click. We'll talk a little NBA as the Knicks and the Nets, both winners last night. And Joe Wiz, as always, will join us at 2:30 with some of his picks. And of course, we are a week away from the Super Bowl. And you know me, I've already got action on like 50 bets right now. Probably by the time kickoff comes around, I'll probably have action on over 100. So we'll have a lot of NFL discussion with you as well.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, let's get to your calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Ernest in Brooklyn. Ernest, welcome in. Good morning. Or good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hey, Anita. Love your show. Love you. I'd scoop you up, but I'm too old for you. I'm 57. But besides that...
Okay.
I have three examples why I really think that the sports writers are really out of touch, and they should accept all of those guys that did steroid use and just put an asterisk like you said. Three examples. The first two, we have Barry Bonds, which nobody liked, and we had Andy Pettit that everybody loved. But steroids did not enhance his hand coordination of Barry Bonds. What steroids did that they keep leaving out is a 162-game season. It's too many games. That's why they were doing steroids, uppers, downers, to help them heal faster. That's what really the steroids was doing. It was helping them heal faster.
Yeah, no, Ernest, that's definitely, and thank you for your phone call, and thank you for your kind comments. It's very nice. That's here's the thing. I think a lot of us are not educated when it comes to performance enhancing drugs and all they do. So full disclosure, when I turned a certain age and realized I was getting older, I went to the doctor and I started taking HGH. And I started taking HGH because I was worried about my skin and my hair and my weight and my metabolism. And what I didn't realize was the emotional and mental effects that you get from HGH. I felt smarter. What do I mean by smarter? I wasn't searching for words when I was hosting sports talk radio. Thought processes came faster, quicker. I emotionally felt better. I did not realize that was going to be an advantage from taking HGH, was the mental and emotional positive effect. I went there specifically for cosmetic. You know, I wanted my hair to stay young and vibrant and thick, and my face to stay smooth and not have wrinkles. And I didn't want to gain weight. And I really benefited, and I felt like I had a better experience utilizing HGH with the emotional and mental aspect that it gave me. But I wasn't aware of that. I share that experience with you just to say there's so many things we don't know. We could sit here and we can judge, and, you know, did performance enhancing drugs enable and help Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds and all these guys get to the level of superiority where, again, they're on the ballot? We don't know. There's just so much we don't know. And those that are judging and voting don't know. You know, we just don't know. I don't know. You know, maybe if I was somebody who had a vote, and I'm not saying that maybe one of the many that do have a vote haven't done this already, but if I was somebody who had a vote, like, maybe I would go and I would speak to a doctor who oversees performance enhancing drugs or you know, beneficial drugs like that to, you know, celebrities or who's ever utilizing them, right? Like, what in athletes, like, what is the advantage here? Like, what do steroids actually make a human being do better? What does HGH, what are performance enhancing, what, yeah, like, I before I vote, I'd want to know everything possible because it's my responsibility, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Weird week, let's be honest. No football this weekend. I know we're all excited for the Super Bowl, and it's going to be a great matchup. Let's be honest. You know, the whole Tom Brady storyline in regard to the Tampa Bay Bucs is just fascinating. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, are we on the verge of the precipice? Is that a word, Jake, Ty?
It's a word, for sure.
Of a dynasty. Am I using that word correctly? Or is that a Marxism? I don't know. But it's 8 days away. So I'm really excited about this week, by the way. So first things first, tomorrow from 8 to 11, New York game day. We're still going to have a New York game day show, myself and Mike Tannenbaum. And we've got really great guests lined up for you. Eric Mangini is going to join us. Rich Samini. As well as Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman for the Giants, whose brother plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then all next week, Daily Wager, the gambling platform show that airs on ESPN2 Monday through Friday from 6 to 7. I'm on all week, deep dive into a slew of bets that you can make heading into the Super Bowl. So really excited about that. We'll be on Daily Wager all next week from 6 to 7 p.m. on ESPN2. And then, of course, you've got Alan and Bart are going to be doing a special show Super Bowl morning from 7 to 8 a.m. And then me and Chris Canty and Mike Tannenbaum will follow them from 8 to 11 right here on 98.7 ESPN, getting you ready, of course, for Super Bowl Sunday. And then we have a special show on ESPN2 for Daily Wager from 11 to noon. That's how I'm going to be spending my Super Bowl morning. So I'm really excited about that. Also, on a personal note, you know me, I love to get into the draft and what's going on there. No combine this year. So the Senior Bowl has a really, really big deal this week, which, by the way, Mike Tannenbaum was at the Senior Bowl. So excited to talk to him tomorrow about it. You could listen to that show from 8 to 11 tomorrow morning. I'm going to be hosting a draft show. It's going to be every Friday night online on my digital platform at Anita Marks on Twitter. I'm going to start on Friday, February 19th, the Friday following the Super Bowl week, with Steve Verderosa. He was a scout with the Giants for 30 years. And so him and I are going to host a NFL draft, pre-draft show every Friday night on my Twitter site. It'll be streaming. It'll be video at 7 o'clock every Friday night, getting you ready for the draft. So I'm really, really excited about that. And I'm really excited to work with Steve. I've had him on the show a few times before, and he's fantastic. It's a very, very interesting year with no combine and how teams are going to have to go about assessing athletes and players. Steve's been a scout in the NFL for over 30 years. And so his expertise and his knowledge and his contacts are going to be so valuable, reaching out to ADs. Keep in mind, there are a number of college athletes that did not participate in college football this year that have been home working out, getting ready. They took a year off of college because they were worried about COVID-19, getting ready for the draft. You know, so how do you evaluate those guys? How do you stay on top of how they're doing? It's calling the ADs, it's calling the schools, it's calling the coaches. So really, really excited to be working with Steve Verderosa for a good 2 months, getting people ready for this year's NFL draft. So, and of course, I'll give you more information again as we get closer to that show launching. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny, welcome in.
Good afternoon, Anita, and very interesting conversation with the financial guy. The word short squeeze, that's what we're all going to go through in the spring after a winter of quarantining in our kitchen when we try to put our bathing suits back on. That's going to be the short squeeze for most of us. It's trying times indeed. I mean, who would have saw this coming after everything we've been through? And if you wait another month, we have these 17-year cicadas coming out of the ground on Long Island to millions of these inch and a half long flying cockroaches will now infest our yard. So what's next? Anything good? Who knows? But I just want to call and thank you for 4 or 5 months of scintillating entertainment on the weekends. I look forward to it every weekend when I was at work or doing a project at home or cooking. The show was not only entertaining, the guests were great, the callers were great. And you helped us get us through this because normally I wouldn't be out. I wouldn't be home listening to the radio on a Saturday or Sunday, things to do. But because we were stuck inside for a great majority of the time, and once the winter comes, we can't go to a restaurant, can't go to brunch. I enjoyed every show, and you gave us all something to look forward to. So you did your share to help us get through the madness. And to get back to football for a second, we may be on the precipice of a dynasty, but they better win it this year because – my God, can we get any more quality quarterback play in the AFC? I mean, if Aaron Rodgers and Stafford and all these people, the landing zones are in the AFC, and we know that Jacksonville is getting this guy and the Bengals have their guy. I mean, you may have a quality high-level quarterback on almost every team, and that is just putting so much pressure on the Jets that they have to give up whatever they have to do to get the guy from the Texans, because if they don't get a quarterback, they're done for 10 years. This is really an incredible level of quarterback play. So even with Patrick Mahomes, if all these other pieces end up in the AFC, there's no – you could be 12-4 every year and play two teams that are 12-4. You're going to see an NFC team – the reason why the NFC East was also so terrible this year is because they played the AFC North, which really had four quality teams until the Bengals lost their quarterback. So you're going to have a lot of the NFC divisional conference record against the AFC for the next 5 years could be horrible. I've never, unbelievable. But anyway, you enjoy the Super Bowl next week, and I want to thank you for putting up with all my rants and we talked about your mother, we talked about Sauce, we talked about everything, and that's part of life. And you helped us all get through this tragedy that is COVID 2021 now.
It's very nice, Danny. Thank you for your thoughts and your kind words, and just know how much I appreciate you and all our listeners here on 98.7 ESPN. And you opened a door that I want to run through. When we get back, Adam Schefter had a very interesting tweet this week. Over under 18 teams will have a quarterback change heading into next season. And Adam Schefter is taking the over. Marinate in that for a minute.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Adam Schefter had a really interesting tweet this week saying that he is taking the over in 18 teams that he feels will have a quarterback change. Okay, so let's start in. I'm going to go division by division. Okay, so the AFC East, right? So the Bills, obviously, Josh Allen, he just crushed it. I'm so happy for Josh Allen. Oh man, in the season he had, even though the Bills are not heading to the Super Bowl, they were my pick, but nonetheless. So obviously the Bills, no change there. But there's a chance that all other three teams in this division are going to make a change. We don't know what's going to happen with Miami Dolphins and Tua. They don't sound like they're committed to him. There's a chance that they could trade him. You know, they traded Tunsil, and they've got a pick towards the top. So if one of these quarterbacks that are coming out this year that they feel more excited about, this is what I love about it. You know, teams that make a decision. Here's the thing. There are NFL teams that will make a certain decision, and the decision could be wrong, but they don't want to look like idiots. They don't want to, so they cut off their nose to spite their face. Oh, well, you know, we drafted him number one overall. We got to ride this out. We got to ride this out for the, you know what it is? It's kind of like, and I love using these relationship analogies. Like, you know, you get like you've got you or you've got a friend, like they get married, and within the first 6 months they realize that the guy or girl that they married is just a complete idiot and a fool, and they just know, like, oh crap, I've made the wrong decision here, but I just married him, or I just married her. It's only been 6 months. I've got to stick with this. I've got to walk this through. I've got to see what happens here. And then they throw away 3 years of their lives when they know in their core of all cores, it's not going to work. NFL executives, they do the same thing when it comes to quarterbacks. Oh, we drafted him number one overall. We have to see how this works out. I love what the Arizona Cardinals did. They knew that drafting Josh Rosen was a mistake. They knew that they needed to bring in Kyler Murray and bring in a new head coach who's going to come in with a system to fit the style and ability of football that he plays. And they were like, screw it. You know what? We screwed up and we admit it, but you know, we're going to right the ship right away. Like Miami just might do that. Miami just might do that. And by the way, I told them, if you don't recall, I said, draft Herbert over Tua. Nobody listened to Anita Marks. That's okay. Rarely people do. The Patriots, let's be honest, Cam Newton, no bueno, didn't work. So Patriots, I think Patriots draft Matt Jones, by the way. I'm hearing that he's crushing it at the Senior Bowl, crushing it. So don't be surprised. Matt Jones to the Patriots late in the first round. You heard it here first. The Jets, of course, need to see what happens, right? Is it Sam Darnold? Is it Watson? Do they draft a quarterback? So those three teams right there, some big question marks. Okay. In the AFC North, Ravens, Bengals, Cleveland, I don't think they're not doing anything. Those quarterbacks are staying, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, big question mark there with Ben Roethlisberger. You know, did Pittsburgh win as many games as they did last year in spite of Ben Roethlisberger? Possibly. Their defense is just sick. Are they behind the curve? Are they behind the curve in regard to all the other teams in the AFC North in regard to quarterback play? They have to draft a quarterback this year. They have to. You know, Philip Rivers now is into the sunset as well as Eli Manning. Is it time for Ben Roethlisberger? I think so. In regard to the AFC South, Tennessee, I think, is the only team that I think for sure. You've got Ryan Tannehill that comes back. Texans, we know Watson wants out. The Colts, I think Matthew Stafford goes there. The Jags, they get Trevor Lawrence. So three teams right there in the AFC South. In the AFC West, Kansas City, we know nothing's happening there. The Chargers, boy, they got themselves a stud. I'm telling you, Herbert is a complete stud. Denver, mm-mm. Drew Locke, no. NFL's not for you, dude. Back up. And the Raiders, we're going to hear from Cynthia Freeland coming your way at 2 o'clock. She thinks the Raiders might have a new quarterback. You definitely want to stay tuned for that. In the NFC, when we talk about the NFC East, not sure what's going to happen with Dallas. I do believe that Dak Prescott comes back as a starting quarterback, but you know they've got some money issues that they need to work out. It's obvious that the Giants are committed to Daniel Jones. And the reason that Doug Peterson is no longer in Philadelphia is because they wanted a coach to come in who's still going to commit to Carson Wentz. They're not willing to accept that Carson Wentz is not a good fit in Philadelphia. Now, that doesn't mean that Carson Wentz couldn't go somewhere else and have success. I believe he can. I just don't think he's a fit in that organization and in that locker room. I just don't. Washington will have a change at quarterback. Will it be Deshaun Watson? Could be a very interesting. Let me tell you something. If Deshaun Watson goes to Washington, hashtag run, don't walk, put money down that Washington's going to win the NFC East next year. Hashtag run, don't walk. You add Deshaun Watson to that Washington team with that defense and the talent that they have on that roster, forget about it. NFC North, the Vikings, I do believe they still stick with Kirk Cousins. But the Bears, Trubisky could be gone. The Lions, obviously, we know Stafford's gone. The Green Bay Packers, listen, $31 million, dead money cap hit for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Let's be honest. Come on, man. NFC South, Atlanta could be gone from Matt Ryan. I think, again, another team that takes a hit cap space-wise if they do part. Carolina, I love Teddy B, but not sure what's going to happen there. The Saints, I do believe that Taysom Hill will be the new starting quarterback of the Saints. And I do believe that that Tom Brady returns for another season with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So that will be a continued team with the same quarterback. And last but not least, in the NFC West, obviously Arizona and Seattle, they have their guys. The Rams, it seems like they want to part from Jared Goff. So that's that could be a change right there. And the 49ers, not sure what's going to happen with Jimmy G. Does Jimmy G go to the Patriots? Does he go back to Bill Belichick and the team that drafted him? And what do the 49ers do? Is that a landing place for Deshaun Watson? So Adam Schefter might be on to something. 18 to me is a lot. Adam Schefter has the over. I have the under. But there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement heading into next season. And it's really going to be something. It's really going to be interesting to see free agency and this draft and how it's all going to play out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN. This is Click.
Click. Click. Click.
Or don't. Click. Very simply, here's the headline. Are you interested in clicking or not?
Click or don't click. It's a fun way. We tour around our wide, wide world of sport to find out what is trending based on the headlines. And as always, our producers lead the way. And we've got Ty and Jake, who are producing the show today back in New York. So, gentlemen, what do we got?
Nick, snap the skid. Clicking?
Yeah, of course. Listen, I host Sports Talk Radio here in New York City. Of course I'm clicking it.
All right, so last night the Knicks snapped that 3-game losing streak that they endured on that West Coast trip. 21-point home win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, who actually came in playing pretty well. They were 9-9, but they could not overcome Emmanuel Quickly, who's quickly becoming one of fan favorites as far as this Knicks team is concerned. RJ Bell. RJ Barrett is playing well. The defense continues to excel. So the Knicks last night, back in the win column. And it was just great to see in front of all the fans who aren't in attendance but watching on TV. You see these young players really coming to their own. Tom Thibodeau has them playing excellent on defense. Randle's been good. As I mentioned, RJ Barrett. So it's fun times if you're a Knicks fan as far as watching the young players. You might not get to the playoffs. You might not win a ton of games. You've already exceeded expectations. But to watch these young players grow before your eyes, you have to be feeling good if you're a Knicks fan.
Yeah, you have to be feeling good. Again, 9-11. They took care of the Cavs. Next game is against the Clippers tomorrow.
That's going to be a tough one.
It is, because you've got Kawhi and Paul George that now are back.
Yep.
So
and they won last night.
So my best bet last night was I had Aaron Gordon over in assists. Dude was averaging 6 assists a game, and the over-under was 4.5. And Carter Williams was still out. So I'm like, I know he's a power forward, but dude's got a little handle, and he's averaging 6 assists a game. They're going to have to score, especially now that, you know, the Clippers have their star players back. Dude, 2 assists. 2 assists!
Hate to have that happen.
Oh, jeez. Anyway.
But just a final note on the Knicks. A lot of rumors swirling around this week about them possibly being a trade destination for one Bradley Beal, who leads the NBA in scoring. Right now, he's averaging 35 points a game. Mm-hmm. Despite that, though, the Wizards have 1, 2, 3 wins this year, and they've also lost their last 10 games when Bradley Beal has scored 40 points. So clearly, he needs to go to a better situation to maximize that potential that he has. He's only 27 years old. So there's a chance that over the next few weeks, we could hear more rumors about the Knicks being in on the Bradley Beal sweepstakes.
I'm sure that'll make Knicks fans excited, which, by the way, the Nets take on Washington and Bradley Beal coming up on Sunday as well. So so stay tuned for that.
All righty, it's my turn. The headline is Blockbuster in the Central.
Blockbuster in the Central. Okay.
Yes, right, It has nothing to do with good old Blockbuster Video, but I
time out. Do you remember Blockbuster Video?
Of course.
I was in college, and it was such a big deal for my boyfriend and I. It was such a big deal. We'd go to Blockbuster Video, and we would get our videos for the weekend. Like, it's just so, you know, it's so crazy. I remember this as well, and I feel like my grandfather will, you know, I walked in the snow 5 miles anyway. I remember when my mom would pick me up from school on Friday, and she'd say, oh, we have to go to the bank. I have to get cash for the weekend because there was no ATM. There's no ATM.
That's too funny.
Right? Like, now we've got ATM, we've got Venmo. Yeah, nobody's going to the store to get videos. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
I remember
everything's online.
You get to walk through the aisles and check out the videos and pick out a thing of popcorn, and then you had to return the video on time, and then Netflix comes along, and that's all out the window now.
It's so funny. The
Blockbuster that I'm talking about is actually the big Blockbuster trade that happened yesterday with the St. Louis Cardinals. They're finalizing a trade to acquire star third baseman Nolan Arenado from the Colorado Rockies. Big Blockbuster trade, the second really big Blockbuster trade this offseason. We saw Cleveland trade Lindor to the Mets, and now the Rockies trade Arenado. I believe the Rockies are getting back 5 prospects and about $50 million to kind of save money. So it's a very interesting move, and it definitely makes the Cardinals now the powerhouse in the Central.
It's definitely interesting. I was watching all the reports that came out, and, you know, obviously not only is he going to help them with their bats, but, you know, you can argue one of the best gloves at third base in Major League Baseball. So he's such an all around player for them and that organization. It's got to be exciting for them.
He's won a Gold Glove in each of his 8 seasons in Colorado, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also not a good look for the sport when you have 2 stars, as Jake just mentioned, Lindor and now Arenado, being traded from teams because said team is trying to save money. I mean, it's a little ridiculous. But that in itself is a different story. You mentioned it, Anita. We talked about the Nets. So trouble in Brooklyn, no more, ? Well, the Nets, after losing a pair of games to the Cavs, have now won 4 straight. Last night, they hung 147 on Oklahoma City. No Kevin Durant, no problem last night. James Harden and Kyrie Irving combined for 50 points on 19 of 30. James Harden had a triple-double. So the Nets right now trending upward. They're the second. They're number two seed right now in the Eastern Conference. And they've got big tests coming up this week. You get the Clippers on Tuesday night. And then next Saturday night, the NBA on ABC marquee matchup is Sixers-Nets. So a battle of the one and two seeds right now in the NBA. Nets trending upward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, you know, I think this was somewhat expected, right? Like, you know, there has to be a rhythm. There has to be, like, a flow. There has to be, like, what's the word I'm looking for? An ebb and flow to a team and a unit and guys that are going to gel and mesh. And I think it, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised that we're seeing this rhythm come together this soon. I thought it would take a little bit longer than this. To kind of see this team play as well as they are together. So they're looking good. And like I said, I thought it was going to take a hot second, but I did think it was going to take a little bit longer than this. Do we have one more before we go to break?
That's it. We're up against the clock, but I agree with you. I think so if you had to, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to put some coin, as you've so famously determined that, you know, that's the way to say it.
Put some coin.
If you had to put some coin on the Eastern Conference, the team to get to the finals, would you take the Nets? Would you take the Sixers? Or would you take the team that has had the best record the last 2 years, and that is the Milwaukee Bucks?
Ooh. The Nets, the Sixers, or the Bucks? I'd probably take the Nets. I'd probably take the Nets. I like what we've seen from them the last four games. They're coming together a lot faster than I anticipated them to come together. And there's very few teams that have, you know, that three powerhouse type of athlete. You know, I mean, we talked about it a lot. You know, a lot of teams have those, you know, the two A players. They're one of the very few teams who have three.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
From Jay-Z to Joe Wiz. He's got his own gambling show here on 98.7 ESPN. Joe, welcome in. How you doing?
How you doing, Anita? Gambling's exploding. Every sports betting show showing up all over the world now.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I said the gambling is becoming bigger and bigger. I mean, I don't know if you heard down in D.C., there's actually a sports book right inside the Nationals baseball field. It's like crazy what's going on with sports betting now. Everybody's popping up all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a sign of things to come. I think, you know, New York is going to get on board next year. Everything that I'm hearing, everything I'm reading, especially digitally online, which is great. So it's definitely great for you and I. That's for sure.
Absolutely. I'm dealing. It makes it a lot more easier. People can pretty soon. New York is probably by July. I hear they're going to have it ready by July.
That'd be fantastic. All right. Let's dive into. I definitely want to get your views and maybe some of the stuff that you've jumped on already in regard to the NFL and of course the Super Bowl. But when I was texting with you earlier, you said you have some NBA picks for tonight. So why don't you give me like your three top plays? What you got?
That's a lot, but I will try and help you out there.
Do you have at least two?
I'll accommodate you. Lakers are taking on Boston tonight. They lost two in a row, Anita. Anthony Davis is back in the lineup. They're playing Boston. I think the Lakers will snap that two-game losing streak. They're a small favorite here. They're laying two. I'm doing the money line with the Lakers in that game, and I'm taking L.A. to snap it and look LeBron and Davis. When them two play together, they are the best team in the NBA, they lost to Philly on Wednesday. They lost at Detroit because Anthony didn't play. I think tonight against the Celtics, some people are calling it a preview of the NBA Finals. I'm not sure I would go that far, but I do like the Lakers there. And in college basketball, a game that will be on the ESPN TV network, Kansas travels to Knoxville to take on Tennessee. And this is an vintage Kansas team, Anita. They've been struggling. They snapped a three-game losing streak the other night. They beat TCU. They didn't cover the hefty spread. You got Kansas getting three. I think they have the wrong team favorite here. On my radio show, which will be airing tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. as well. I'm taking Kansas plus the 3. I don't even want to call it an upset, even though they're getting 3. I think it's a steal getting Kansas plus 3. They knock off Tennessee, winning the game outright and going back to the NBA. Detroit Pistons playing Golden State. Golden State's only laying 4. Seems like an invitation for the Pistons to take the 5 on the road with Detroit.
Interesting. I came across a stat in regard to Boston. You know, they're 0-11 against the spread at home after a loss. That's a pretty scenario here.
They lost, and you know they were struggling at the beginning of the season. They had a lot of COVID issues. Anita, they're back healthy. I just don't think they're as good as the Lakers are. And I think Lakers are in the midst of a 7-game road trip. It's very rare you see 7-game road trips in any league, especially in the NBA. But they are, and in the middle of it, they've lost their 2. They've rested. There's no excuse. You're going to see a full effort from LA as you will from Boston. But I just think the better team prevails there.
Okay, so just to recap, you like the Lakers tonight, you like Detroit, and you like, in college basketball, you like Kansas.
Absolutely. My strongest play would be Kansas, and then the Lakers, and the third play would be the Detroit game, only because the line is relatively low, and the public's going to be jumping all over Golden State. I'm jumping the other way.
Kansas on the money line or Kansas plus 3 or play a little bit of both?
I'm doing both. I'm expecting them to win outright. Tennessee's a defensive-oriented team, Anita. They don't score a lot of points. Kansas, like I said, they come out of it. They've been struggling a little bit. They've played a tougher schedule. They're getting 3. I took plus 3, but I'm also taking the money line at plus 150 with Bill Self and the Jayhawks.
Woohoo! Again,
go.
Joe.
And I'm going to go to the metal and the federal on harness racing tonight.
There you go. Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, you can hear his show tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. All right, before we let you go, there is a plethora of bets that are already out there available for the public. And still, we have a good week and a day to go before the Super Bowl is here. Is there a play or two out there that you love that you've jumped on already?
Well, on my radio show, my co-host Daryl's on the air with me. I already won my first bet. We did the coin flip, and I was the bookmaker. I let Daryl flip the coin. I took heads. He lost. So I already won. I won the coin flip. It's crazy. It's minus 106, but it's the national anthem's 159. And you got some crazy prop bets, Anita, and I know you're big on some of the prop bets out there. I mean, there was one out there with who has more passing yards, whether it's Mahomes or Brady. I think Mahomes will probably have more passing yards. That doesn't necessarily mean that Kansas City's going to win, because as we see with Tampa, they're a run-oriented team right now. They're more trying to establish the ground attack and then open up the passing lanes for Brady. So maybe Tampa's game plan for Sunday is going, they don't want to get into a shootout even with Brady. They certainly want to be able to control the clock and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands as much as possible in that game. So I know there's somebody out there, it was on the ESPN Wire, somebody out there made a gigantic bet on the dog in this game. $2.3 million. The $300,000 is juice. So you pay $2.3 million on the dog. You took Tampa plus the 3.5. $2.3 million. So far, that's the biggest bet we've seen on the market so far.
Yeah, really, really unbelievable. And obviously jumping on getting that 3.5, which I don't think we'll see the 3.5 again. Leading up to the Super Bowl, I think if you want the 3.5, I think it's something that you're probably going to have to purchase.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at a couple places. Westgate has it at 3, Pinnacle has it at 3, but Mirage is at 3.5. So yeah, they're interesting, Anita, because there is more money coming in on the favor right now. There is more money on KC right now, not much more, but yet even though people are playing the favorite, the positioning is now they're pushing that line down to 3, and Brady and company are getting some big respect there.
All right, Joe, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time on this Saturday afternoon. Enjoy the NBA slate, and look forward to having you on next Saturday with more
NFL
Super Bowl
Jayhawks
talk.
Tonight.
Yeah, you got it. Moneyline, baby. I'm on it. I'm on it right now.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.